What's up, y'all? It's Casey, and I'm here to introduce you to a new podcast series coming from the Black Is family. We're calling this the Brown Girl Hour with Casey and T. As you all know, Toria and I have been the primary women participants in the break roundtables, and offline, we have some really rich conversations steeped in true friendship and sisterhood, and decided that it was high time we bring those conversations to you, our beloved listeners. And so we hope you enjoy. We don't know where the conversations will take us from week to week, but we hope that we are able to give you something engaging and interesting to listen to. At the time of this first recording, we hadn't decided on a title. As you will hear, I call it actually the Untitled Podcast for Casey and Toria. But we hope that you continue to listen to the Brown Girl Hour. We plan to bring this to you at least twice a month. And I'm certain the topics will range. But what I guarantee is that T and I will always bring you some good old sister girl juicy conversation. So sit back, listen, and enjoy. I get more raw and hot. Welcome to the first episode of Casey and Toria, or actually Toria and Casey's Untitled Podcast. We're working on the title for it, but we didn't want to delay not bringing it to you since our ideas are fresh and bubbling around in our minds. But we decided that it would be good for two of the ladies of the BI Break team to get together and discuss some things. You know, Toria and I are friends offline. And
real friends,
not virtual homies, not, as Player Hater would say, fake ass friends. Yes. We're actually friends,
real friends. We give hugs, not double taps,
right?
Right, and we have drinks and not like posts,
exactly.
Well, we do, but we for real for our friends,
exactly. And we have so many wonderful, rich conversations. And I think for both of us, our friendship has been good as far as just us growing as women. It's a grown-up friendship.
Yes.
Because it's not like we were friends as kids. We became friends as adults. So it's a
Which isn't that common for women to become friends as adults.
It's not.
At all.
It's
you know.
Not. It's not.
And friends where you can bear all and be confident and comfortable with each other. So
exactly.
I think that's very unique.
Yes. Yeah. And so we wanted to bring a podcast together, talking about some of the things that we discuss, some of the conversations that we've had, and certain things that come up to us as the year goes on, and share them with you all. And we hope you choose to interact with us.
Right. So, of course, because it's the new year, we started with, where do we go? You know, what do we say to the women? And obviously, it was starting off with, I don't know if I want to call it advice, because I'm not perfect at being a woman, although some would disagree, but just saying, selfish plug. But really, I think taking some time out to reflect on being a woman, or the best woman you can be, in 2014. And so prior to New Year's Eve, and prior to the day where everyone's writing their resolutions, I was writing kind of to myself, because I've always felt like if you write to yourself, you write a better piece, because you're writing for yourself to understand, not for other people to understand. And mm-hmm. So that's a lot of where it came from. And I just thought about my life in the last year and my life from the perspective of just a woman, you know, however you define that, because we each have our own definition. And so I made promises to myself. And then, of course, I was like, I got to share this with my girls, because each of you let me into your lives and share with me. And so that's why I was like, oh, it's totally applicable to their lives as well. maybe not every promise, but overall comfortable with saying it. And then I think women out there, period. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the very first thing I was like, take care of myself. Right. And it sounds very cliche because we know this and we do treat ourselves every once in a while to a mani and a pedi. And some of us do it every week and we get our hair done and we get our makeup done and we go shopping. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're genuinely taking care of you. And for me, it's more of like your well-being mentally, emotionally, spiritually, taking care of your taking care of self, mm-hmm. that self that lies down with you every night, that self that you kind of block from everybody, even from your spouse or your mate. There's still a piece of us as women, I think, that we still block. And it's that little piece that we're blocking that we're not taking care of. Mm. And so for me, it was take care of me. You know, I know my worst mental conditions, and not that I have any mental illness, but I know when I'm at my worst mentally. I know when I'm at my worst emotionally. I know when I'm at my worst spiritually. And I know when I'm at my worst physically. But somehow I can cover it up and keep moving. And so for this year, I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to promise myself to take care of myself. So if I'm having an emotionally bad day, I'm not going to cover it up. I'm going to have it addressed. It doesn't mean I'm going to be calling boo-hooing everybody, and it doesn't mean I'm going to be sulking, but I'm going to take care of that. And I think we all should. It makes us better women. Yeah. We're so good as strong women. Keep going. You know, leaning in, which I still love, you know, but we have to lean back and breathe and take care of ourselves, because we're no good for anybody else if we aren't good for ourselves. And I think it's even more true for women that are married and mothers. You're giving even a bigger portion of yourselves to other people, and you feel like being a mother means sacrifice every bit of you. Mm-hmm. And to an extent, it does. Mm-hmm. But you can't sacrifice your well-being and then expect for you to be the best mother to that child or the best wife to your husband. So I started with the first promise of taking care of myself. Mm-hmm.
And can I jump in and say, yes. I think part of taking care of yourself is keeping those promises to yourself. So funny, Toria, I was going to tell you this off mic, but my little anxiety last night, I heard your voice say, lean in. Kim, lean in. Toria has told me this repeatedly. And so I thought about a job that I came across. And I kind of looked at it and thought to myself, I could totally do this, but I didn't have any good idea. I went to go prepare the cover letter and I got bored with what I was constructing. And I thought to myself, what can I do? And this is for an organization that has a heavy web presence. And what they do is publicize different events and sell the events at a discounted rate. But for every event, they create a page that describes the event. Mm. And so I was up at 5:00 in the morning creating a page that looked like theirs, but that described me, because I know that's something I know I can do. I'm good with graphic design. I'm good with words. And I was proud of myself for taking a risk. That's really what it is. Taking a risk. I sent them a cover letter that was not a traditional cover letter, but I needed it to stand out. And I realized from this point forward, when I have opportunities like that, that I can showcase a part of my skill set, I need to lean in. I need to get uncomfortable sometime and take a risk, because you never know that one, you know, everybody might not respond to it. Somebody might see it and be like, ah, hell nah. But then somebody else might see it and be like, this is really creative. We want to call her and talk to her. And so, you know, for somebody who is a mom, and who has, I feel like I've sacrificed a lot in regards to some of the dreams that I had for myself, really just thinking I need to be more responsible. And being an entrepreneur, there are a lot of things you imagine doing or want to do, but you don't necessarily have the capital in which to do them. I've put a lot of those desires on the back burner for the sake of a check. I'm done with that. I'm really, really done with that. So anyway, I wanted to just speak into leaning in. Thank you.
Well, you are more than welcome. It brings me to 2 points, and I'll save the second one, and that's a little more into Kim saying she heard my voice leaning in, but you going and sitting and creating your cover letter and making it different, and reminded me of a sermon I heard Joel Osteen speak to about our milestones. And so I think sometimes as women, we forget what we've accomplished. We forget what we're worth. Sometimes we don't forget, but we want to walk in a spirit of humility, so we don't talk about it a lot, and we say, oh, that's nothing. But he t- told the congregation to basically list down all of your accomplishments and your achievements and things you've done in life. And accomplishments and achievements weren't just talking about careers, but it could be the day that you supported a friend. It could have been something, you know, where you were able to come through and help a family member. It could be, you know, helping others. It's not necessarily, you know, graduating from college, but it's that as well. Mm-hmm. But listing your milestones. And so when you said you created your cover letter, I was like, those are her milestones. Because we forget our worth, because this world is so hard on women.
Yes.
And even harder on women of color.
Yes.
You know, and so there's a moment in our lives where we're proud, strong black women. And then there's a moment where some of us are walking a little sheepishly and a little quiet because we don't want to rock the boat and come off as arrogant, you know, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and that unapproachable woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that so much to ourselves that sometimes we forget our worth. So it's okay to sit down and create, you know, he called it milestones. You might want to call it your brag list, but do that to take care of you.
Right.
Because I actually did it for myself and I was like, I'm a badass girl. Like, and I don't have to be quiet. I don't have to boast it and shout it to the world. But if I want to shout it to the world, I can because I have the proof to prove it
right.
that I've done it. So when we say take care of ourselves, it's all of that, you know, because there's so many of us not living our fullest and most fulfilling lives. And I don't think it's because of rejection and failure and the so many no's we've heard. It's because we are not taking care of ourselves.
Right.
It's not that. I mean, we've bounced back from rejection, all forms of rejection, and we've bounced back from failure and we've heard no's. That's not what's breaking us. What's breaking us is the fact that we're not taking care of ourselves after we bounce back.
Right.
Or putting pressure on ourselves to bounce back so immediately, as opposed to like, you know what? I don't feel like I can bounce back today.
Right.
That kind of a thing.
Right.
And then it leads me to my second, when you said you thought of me, because you've been just as supportive to me as you say I am to you. And I think that's another way or another promise to make to myself is that sisters take care of each other.
Yes.
There is such a disconnect between so many of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even from our closest friends and family, there's a disconnect. But I think we have to just be so much more sincere and so much more sensitive and compassionate towards each other, because mm-hmm. it makes a world of difference.
It does.
It makes a world of difference. Just saying hello to the sister or smiling at a sister, you have no idea what it does for a person. I mean, I was sitting in the nail shop a week ago and wasn't feeling my best. And the girl sat next to me and she's like, hi, how you doing? And I was like, you know what? I appreciate that, because you don't get that often. And then, you know, when I can go to my friends and they're just listening, you know, or they give advice, but we don't love on each other enough from the perspective of, I see you, girl, because I'm walking in the same high heels you walking in.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's always like, my high heels are more expensive than yours. Mine got a label. Yours don't. Yours are scuffed. Mine aren't. I keep mine clean. You don't keep yours clean. We walking in the same heels and the same roads. We just walking at different paces with a different body on them and a different amount of size to carry and a different burden.
Yes.
But commit to loving each other. And it doesn't mean you have to befriend every woman.
Right.
You know, and I know that there are women out there that cannot be trusted. There are women with issues, but you too are her. We yeah. are her.
This is true.
You are catching her at a different phase in her life.
This is true.
You know, I have not been my best all the time, you know, and I can find fault in myself. So even when you come across that sister who may seem less deserving than, you know, a positive comment, see yourself in her shoes, because you've been there. We all have,
yeah.
you know, and I think it makes a world of difference when we can just love each other from just off the mere fact I too am you.
Right.
You know, we both spell our name W-O-M-A-N. So that in itself is enough to be like, I'm a love on you. And again, it doesn't mean you go out there and befriend every sister, but respect at the bare minimum.
Right.
And genuine, you know, how you doing? Hello.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And being there for your friends and your families and not chopping them down. And, you know, how we hold each other to, we definitely hold each other accountable.
Right.
We're quick to let you know when you've fallen short or you've done something wrong or you ain't doing it right. But just, you know, imagine what it would take to get you to keep going.
Right.
And then give it to the next person.
Right. This is true. This is so funny. I had this conversation with Chris. I had this conversation with you. At this point in life, I thought back over my friendship circles. And the women who I'm closest to, you aside, are unfortunately really far away. They don't live in the city. Sans, you know, a few a handful. But the women who I grew up with and had really close friendships with, everybody is either up north or out of state. And so I don't get a chance to spend time with them. I'm someone who makes friends easily, and I've made friends on my jobs. But I was sitting with Chris. I said, baby, how come I lose homegirls sometime? And I started thinking through the friendships that I had lost. And, you know, there's a couple that I do regret losing. And I can acknowledge that in my younger years, I was a lot more judgmental and a lot more forthright in my judgment. I would just tell a person what I thought about their situation that was wrong. Right. Not being reflective on my own life, but because I was a bit of a square, I couldn't see my issues in them. Right. It wasn't until I grew up and recognized, okay, wait, I have these challenges. I may not have acted on some of them, but they do exist. Some of that same turmoil exists within me. But also acknowledging people who are real friends and people, like, there's a distinction, because when I think about the friendships that I lost, the ones that happened when I was, say, 25 and under, I can barely count those. We're all young and going through all kind of foolishness. Older, I can say there's probably only one friendship that I regret losing. You have to kind of pay attention to when you're dealing with somebody who is truly a friend and acknowledging real friendship, and then somebody who is just taking energy from you.
Right.
Because there are people who will do that too. And I think that's part of us taking care of ourselves and loving on one another is also acknowledging when you need to let somebody go.
Yes.
And not be an enabler, not be a crutch.
You can love them. You don't have to live with them.
At all.
You can love them. Yeah. You don't have to live with them.
Yeah. Acknowledge when you are being that friend that's a crutch. You know what I mean? And you can tell, because if you leave your friend and then feel the need to go talk to another friend of yours about that friend to get some relief, then that's not a reciprocal relationship.
Right.
And I guess I've been struggling with the idea of whether or not friendships have to be equally reciprocated. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've had a friend tell me that she felt like she was more of a friend to me than I was to her. And when I sat back and thought about it, I had to admit she probably was there more for me than I am there for her. And we've gotten so comfortable in that pace, at least I have, that it's been a lot of push and pull in regards to our friendship. And I realize I push back when she asks more of me. 'Cause I'm like, why?
Right.
You know, in the same vein, I know I have friends where it's been the opposite situation. Yeah. I've been more of the friend, but I do have my limit to where I get, like, I have a homegirl now who I love dearly. One of my best friends. I haven't talked to her probably all year. I called her in the summer. I hadn't heard from her. She gave me a call some point in the fall. I had a whole lot going on. I didn't have time to return her phone call in that moment. And I kind of just have put her on the back burner for now. Just like, you know what? Let me take a moment. It wasn't a rush for you to call me back. I'm not going to rush to call you back. Not because I don't love you, but let's just take a minute. And so, I don't know, Toria, what do you think about that? Do friendships have to be equal in reciprocation?
I don't think so. At every step of the friendship, I think it differs. You know, there's a time where you may need me to be more of a friend to you than you can be.
Mm.
You know, so I think depending on where each person is, one person may be more of a friend to the other. And then there'll be times where your friendship is in harmony and we're both being equally good and equally supportive. But there are times where we're at different places in our life. So there's only so much I can give.
Right.
But I think the overall commitment in a friendship should be that we're both 100% committed. We're just not committed at the same time, if that makes sense.
It does. Because with the one friend who says that she is there for me more than I am for her, and she was like, you know, I've had to change my way I deal with you, which, you know, that kind of stung a little bit. But I said, you know what? At the end of the day, here's my question. Do you love me as your friend? And she said, yeah. I said, well, that's all I need.
Right. And it depends on how you define being there.
Right.
Depends on how you define being there.
True.
You know, kind of speaks to, and this is completely off the subject, but I think it speaks to, like, the love languages. Mm-hmm. And each of us require a different kind of love.
Yes.
And so when it's the same thing with friendships, right? Each of us, like, I consider myself a loyal friend. Mm-hmm. If you needed me and you called me right now, I'd be like, damn, Kim, I gotta stop. And I would go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some friends define friendship as we call and talk every day. And if I don't call and talk to you every day, then you're not there for me.
Right.
Some friends assume, like, I saw you on Facebook eating dinner and I wasn't there. That means we're not friends, you know. Yes. And I get angry naturally because I'm like, yeah, but let you be shown on something and somebody put a hand on you. I'm there.
Right.
So what do you mean? You know, you either want a slice of pizza or you want the person that's going to make sure that when all shit falls down, I'm there.
Right.
You know? And so it made me think of what we each need, what we each require. And so mm-hmm. that's why friendships can sometimes seem, you know, up and down, or I'm not getting as much, I'm giving more than you're giving, because it's, you're placing value on something that I might not necessarily value.
Yeah.
But as a friend, I'm going to acknowledge that you value that. And I may try to give a little more.
Right.
As long as you can acknowledge like, that I'm stepping out and just doing it for you.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have to do that for me.
Right.
You know, like if you didn't answer my call, I'm not offended.
Right.
You know.
Right.
If I see you having dinner and I wasn't invited, I'm not offended.
Right.
You know, if I'm getting my ass beat and you walk away, I'm highly offended.
Right. You know? But maybe this speaks to the fact that sister friends need to have honest conversations about right. it. You know,
and that's it, like the honest conversations, you yeah. know. And I think too, like, reflect on just that friendship. What are they? What have they done? Sometimes we're highlighting what they haven't done, and which, you know, my comeback, and it's gonna be a little vulgar. My comeback used to be a lot. It's like, look, I don't do pussy, and that would be when a friend would be like on me about something I did not do,
right?
And I'd be looking like, that's for your man to do. I don't have to cater to you. I'm your girl. You're right or die. I have a glass of wine. We laugh. We talk. We work it out. We don't work it out. We argue. I talk to you again tomorrow.
Right.
That's my role, but that's not everybody's role. That's me.
Right.
So all I'm asking is love me for me, that person,
right.
and trust that I am your friend,
right.
you know? And the same from someone else who needs that extra attention. Like, okay, I'll make that extra attempt to call you and say, hey, I'm thinking I'm going to go to dinner. You know, you want to go? Even if I know you're going to say no, because I know that that's what makes you feel loved. And at the end of the day, because I do value the friendship, I'll take that route. You know what I mean? Because really, it's just different routes.
Yeah.
You know, you prefer, you know, the walk by the beach. I prefer the mountain hike, you
right,
know?
Right.
And it's, but we're going to the same place.
Yeah.
And acknowledging that.
Yeah.
But I think people should look at themselves first, you know, before you jump on that friend, you know, or expect that the friendships to be on equal levels at the same time. Because I think it'll be different. It shifts,
yeah,
depending on where each person is in their point at that point in their lives.
I would agree. This sounds like a topic we could actually come back to and do a yes. whole show on.
Yeah, absolutely. So then the next one, which probably sounds a little like this one, but not really. Be mindful of who you confide in.
Yes.
You know, and it's natural for us to immediately want to pick up the phone or send a text to a family member, a friend, a loved one, and let them know that this is what's happening. And not everybody knows how to handle your story, you know. And you've got to be prepared that when you confide in someone, you've got to be 100% aware that there may be some feedback, some comeback, some unwelcomed advice, some unsolicited advice, some advice you don't want to hear, some words you're not ready to hear at that point in time. So be mindful of who you're confiding in. Where are you? When you confide, what is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did you want? Are you looking for somebody to talk to and just listen?
Mm-hmm.
Then who is that person in your crew that's just the listener? If you're looking for an affirmation, like, okay, I want to do this, am I right? Then who's that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whose advice do you trust? So I'm just saying, you know, be way more mindful of who you confide in. And not everyone knows how to handle your story. I went through something and I felt like, so what I've been talking to you about is kind of like roundtable discussion, just by the vibe and the feedback I was getting. And it was like, you know what? It's not their fault. It's my fault. Because we're humans. I've done it. I'm guilty of it also. So I want to preface this saying that the promises I made came not just from things that have happened to me, but things I've done. Because I'm that type of a person. Like, I couldn't be completely mad at how I, you know, how the vibe was going at the table, but only because it was like, you know what? People have confided in me and I've jumped to, I'm a quick talker. So when people say something to me, I'm quick to just like, boom, you know, without even giving a second thought, like maybe they didn't want that,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe this wasn't the right time to give that kind of advice.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes my advice so accurate, you know, and maybe they just wanted somebody to speak on, you know, so, and basically what I had written when I shared this with my girlfriends was that in order to determine, you know, whether or not that person is worth you confiding in, you yourself must be someone worth people, someone that people can confide in also. Hold yourself to a different expectation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, take control of those situations. This is a little different, goes off on a tangent, because then it led me to say, be careful of who you allow to speak into your life. Mm-hmm. Because depending on where you are, you're vulnerable. Kim, I was here just last week, we were talking. And then over the phone, we were talking. And if you're vulnerable, right, you can take in all that information and find yourself in a weaker state, mm-hmm. you know, or in a worse state, you know. Mm-hmm. And so be careful. Guard your life. You have every right to stop a person and be like, you know what? I got it. You know, I was just trying to talk and get it off my chest. I'm good. That's not rude, but it sets a standard, because that person's going to walk away and think, wow, she did not allow me to speak that into her life or right. to speak to her. Some, for whatever reason, she stopped me.
Right.
You know, and we talked even more, you know, I think family members have it all the time. We were talking about the whole kid conversation, you know, mm-hmm. and family members are like, kids, you know, you're having kids. When are you having kids? You're not going to have no kids. Why don't you have any kids? And I had an incident with a family member who made the public statement at the family picnic. I was never going to have kids when someone asked me, you know, and it stung like, whoa, you know, because I wrestle back and forth with that. Like, hey, will I ever have children? You know, I don't wear that on my sweater, you know, and this is the first time he's saying it publicly out there, but to have someone say that, and when she said it, it just stuck. Now, if I ever had the chance to do it again, I definitely would take the high. I wouldn't, you know, shot for a shot or anything like that, but I would certainly let her know, like, you can't speak that in my life, mm-hmm. like, you know, don't. And I think because we love our family, we love our friends, we love our loved ones. And for the most part, we know that their intentions are good, mm-hmm. but they don't know no better. They're human too.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all are.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just got somebody running their mouth,
right?
You know, and at that point in time, you might not be able to see it as they just running their mouth. It may stick because it plants seeds. Mm-hmm. And so here you are wrestling with something that you really didn't have to wrestle with, because it was just a dummy speaking at the picnic, mm-hmm. who probably had one too many wine coolers, you know, because if I were to have the conversation with her and let her know it hurt me, I know the first thing she would be is like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't mean it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, so be mindful of who you allow to speak into your life and over your life. Take control of that. You have every right to, because you know the words. I've had seeds planted in my head, mm-hmm. you know. Basically, that's it.
Yeah. And the thing is, we swap stories because I have one child. But what happens when you have one, people want to know when you're going to have the next one.
Right.
And I was at an event at my mother's house, and my aunt just went in on me like you and telling me what I need, which is nothing is more annoying than somebody telling me what I need as if I don't know what I need. And she was just going in like, you need to have another child because your son needs somebody to play with. And mm-hmm. she just, I didn't respond to her. I just kind of looked at her, and we were in front of somebody else, which made it more of an embarrassment. And she wasn't picking up the cue that I just really wanted her not to continue talking, like, please be quiet. But I found that it was better for me just to look at her kind of stupefied than to say what I was really thinking,
because
it wouldn't have come out respectfully.
Right.
But I realized, you know, if and when that situation occurs again, I'm going to have to say politely to her, Auntie, you don't know what's going on with me. We haven't had that conversation. And so let's just table this discussion,
right?
Especially in front of somebody,
and it will make
else.
Us. It will make each of us, because I've done it also. Mm-hmm. You know, I've blurted. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. see somebody getting too skinny in the family. Dang, you losing weight. I say it. You know, see somebody put on weight. Dang, you picking up weight. You know, because we're just so quick to speak.
This is true.
Without giving any thought or a second thought to our words,
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, again, just like, you know, choosing people wisely when you confide in them. Watch what you speak into people's lives.
Right.
You know, because you never know.
Right.
You never know. The good majority of us are walking around here like we're strong and we've got it and nothing bothers us. And for the most part, we can bounce back.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I shouldn't have to be subjected to that.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a correct and tactful way to catch somebody, you know, to, I won't say read them, because we're good at reading them.
Yes.
But there's a way, because I think it empowers you yeah, I can't wait to do it. You know, I'm waiting for somebody to just say something so I could just do it. But it empowers you, but at the same time, it makes people mindful of their own behavior.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because when that happened at my family picnic, I had to think of all the times that I've just said some stuff to folks. You know, like, when you gonna get back in school? Right. And there is a time and place to hold people accountable, your loved ones accountable. There is definitely a time. But you better wait on that invitation.
Yes.
Because you don't know that you are the person that they're inviting into their lives, you know, to give them that advice and to guide them and to speak over their lives and into their lives.
Right. And you have to pay attention to people's cues.
Yes.
As well. You know what I mean? Because you never know when the timing is bad, when you're saying something that's going to make somebody extremely uncomfortable in that moment or embarrass them. And then you have to really be honest about your motives. You know, right. If we're honest, if we're all honest, there have been times we know we've said something to somebody to hurt them. Mm-hmm. We've said it because we knew it was going to provide the sting for whatever reason. Either we were trying to jumpstart them, you know, the intention behind it was good, or we were just straight up trying to be mean that day.
Right.
You know what I mean? And the thing is, when it happens to you, you got to be able to receive it or deal with it diligently. You can't, deal with it gracefully. You cannot fly off the handle, you know what I'm saying, and go nuts when you know you've dished it out to people before. But if we all stop and think mm-hmm. before we talk, that's the first step.
You, yes.
Yeah. But what you said, too, about paying attention to whom you confide in. This goes back to everybody is not your friend. There was a time, Toria, so funny, and I know you remember this. Was that my first year we were working together at a Skirball? And okay. You asked me one day, you know, what's the issue with black women? What's our beef?
I don't remember. That's how much I daggone talk.
But it was so funny. I remember it because you and I had a tense moment over a podcast. And I saw you the next day at work and I was like, I'm sorry. And you was like, you better not be.
Remember.
It was so great, though. It was so great. All I could do was laugh and like bite my lip, like, okay, I just better own all that attitude I had on the mic. But
I remember.
Yeah.
But what were we talking? I don't remember what we were talking about.
Girl, who knows what we were actually talking about.
This was years ago.
But I remember you asking me the question after that, like, we should have a podcast, like, what is the tension between black women? What is our beef with one another? And I was listening to somebody else's podcast. I think it might have been, I don't want to call out the wrong people, it might have been Black Astronauts Ladies Launch. But it was this idea that women are so often pitted against one another as competition. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't fall outside of that box. And you're looking at somebody who was totally not competing with you, not thinking about right. that at all. You know at what I'm all. Saying? But because that's the society that we live in that teaches us, we have to size ourselves up against the next woman.
Right.
You know, it makes people develop superiority and inferiority complexes. Mm-hmm. It creates this unnecessary attitude that we have between one another when in actuality, what we should be doing is saying, bump that, because that's not what it's about.
Right.
I'm trying to get here. You're trying to get there. Let's work together to get each other there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it always centers around, in my opinion, the response of men. You know, and nothing to, in my opinion, also turns men off more than seeing two women act catty.
Right.
So it's like we have to pay attention to who's really being a friend to you and who's really just taking your information because they want something to cackle at.
Cackle at, talk about, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And you know it. You know when those red flags go up. You know when you're talking to somebody and they're not being genuine. You know what I mean? There's some people who can right. play the game off really well. But like, think about your interactions with them. Think about just mainly that, your interactions with them on a consistent basis. Yeah. How trustworthy is this person that you're sharing your story with?
And you don't want, just like you don't want everybody putting their hands all over you, you don't want everybody breathing all over your story.
Exactly.
Breathing all over your destiny. Breathing all over your dreams.
Exactly.
So then the next one, and this one is a simple one. Pray more and pray with more faith. I think we all know to pray, right? A good number of us know that, whether we were raised in a church or whether we had some type of aha moment in our adult years, whether you're scrolling through TV, scrolling through Facebook, scrolling through Instagram, we know to pray, right? But the second piece to that is to pray with faith. Pray believing that what you're praying for is actually going to come to pass. And that is difficult. That is very difficult. But I think we're definitely shortchanging ourselves if we're going to God in prayer and you're praying with doubt in your mind. You're saying, do this, but in the back of your mind, you're saying, I don't think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And be bold in your prayers. You know, it's okay. He made us some promises, you know, and I don't know the Bible that well. I struggle to. I'm in church sometimes and I go to the table of contents when the bishop tells me to meet him somewhere. I'm like, let me find out where that exactly is and I'll meet you there. But there are promises that he makes us. Mm-hmm. And the promises he's put in our hearts already. So pray boldly for them. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I know me sometimes I just want to keep it simple. You know, I don't want to ask God for too much because he's already given me so much. But there's that but. But I can pray boldly.
Right.
You know, it says it, you know, right. pray boldly, you know, and pray with faith. So that one's a simple one. I don't have to go on and on and on. But I challenge us for 2014, pray more and pray with more faith and pray boldly.
Yes.
Make it big and bold, girl.
Yeah, ask for what you want. Mm-hmm. Anybody struggling with your faith, start with prayer. I'm someone who has struggled with faith the majority of my adult life. I am really just now starting to embrace the foundation that was laid for me as far as my religion and spirituality. There's still some things that I question. Mm-hmm. And so I'm on this journey, but I know that my journey is I'm being led, and prayer is where it starts for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that somebody is listening, and you know, my good friend, John laughs at me because I say, you know, when I pray, I think of God, but I also think of my ancestors. I know I have angels that watch me. Mm-hmm. I know this, that's something that I do not question. So if in my mind, when I'm thinking of prayer and I'm talking to God and I imagine that on either side of him, there is my big mama and my grandfather, and that helps me get through my prayer, then so be it, you know, and that might sound crazy to some people, but I definitely feel that the people who came here before us, you know, there is a spirit realm and they exist in that realm, and that works for me. You know what I mean? So start somewhere, find something that you believe in, some sort of foundation.
And then get around others that believe, mm-hmm. you know?
True.
And I'm not saying you have to go find the Bible beater, you know, the woman that's speaking in tongues, you know, the person with the holy water in their purse, but get around other believers, just like with anything else, you know, mm-hmm. People who pray and who believe, because sometimes it's just their energy and their testimony that makes you go, I'll try it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it happens in our everyday life anyway. Somebody says that is the best movie, we run out there and we go see it.
Right.
You know, that is a good book. I've got to get it. Mm-hmm. You know, that store has the best sales. I'm there. So get around somebody that was like, prayer works. Prayer changes things. Mm-hmm. You know, because when you're around like-minded people and you see things happening in their life, it creates in you some hope. Mm-hmm. Right. Because I'm no different than they are.
Right.
So if it happened for them, it can happen for me, too. Mm-hmm. And maybe they will tell you that. You know,
exactly.
It'll happen. They may be sharing the same experiences you're going through, or they've already gone through. They may have walked that path. And so they can say this, you know, but get around people who are also believers and who are prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a very strong relationship with my cousin, and one of our connections is prayer, you know, and we'll send each other texts like, did you do this? Did you read that? Or here's this, you know, or, you know, when we miss church, we're like, all right, I'm going to be at Bedside Temple. And that means we are watching Joel Osteen on Channel 47, you know, at 9 o'clock in the morning. But that's my go-to person, you know, my prayer buddy, my prayer partner. And we happen to be equally yoked. And when I say equally yoked, neither of us are stronger than the other when it comes to our spiritual understanding and our understanding and knowledge of the Bible. We're equally yoked. But that doesn't mean you can't gravitate to someone who knows more. Mm-hmm. But I share that we're equally yoked because it can happen with people that are equally yoked. Sometimes we think we need to find the person that knows the Bible from cover to cover, inside out. I didn't go seeking her out. You know, we just were family and We've been going to church together, and it just manifested into that. Mm-hmm. So it can happen with people on the same level, you know.
Right.
You don't have to go and seek, you know, priest of all priests.
Right.
Because you may not have contact with them every day anyway.
Exactly.
Yes. Then the next one, rest. And we say that all the time. But I had shared with Kim just last week, you know, I went through something. And I'm good, Kim, by the way.
Yay.
But I look at everything I go through and say, what is God trying to show me? What does he want me to get from this? And there were a few things, but one of the things I got from this was like, rest, be still, because I felt like I'd been hit hard, you know, like just everything had just been dropped on me. And as I was going through it and getting through it and still getting through it and going through it, I realized God was like, boom, there you go. Now sit down and rest. And a lot of times we don't do that. You know, we're uncomfortable with being seated. Not all of us, you know, because I love sleep. I'll tell people in a minute, I love sleep, but I really don't make time for it, you know, other than, you know I'm supposed to get 8 hours from the time I'm leaving work and before I go to work the next day, you know, or I get to sleep in on a Saturday. But rest is more than that. And my bishop said, just because you're sleeping doesn't mean you're resting.
No,
you know, rest is letting it all go, letting just it all breathe in, breathe out, letting it go, and genuinely giving your mind, your body, your soul, everything a break.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean picking up the book and reading from cover to cover, you know, how to meditate. It means resting.
Yeah.
It means just that.
Quiet your mind.
Yeah. Quiet your mind. Get into a space where you're just silent. I don't have to talk. You know, I don't have to do anything but just rest. And we would get healthier.
Yes.
We'd be happier,
yes.
You know, because when you're sleep deprived and rest deprived, you ain't the nicest person to be around.
Mm-mm.
You know, rest,
yeah.
You know, and I wrote in the letter I'd sent to my friends, it's not a treat. It is a habit. You know, we make it a treat. Like, girl, I'm sleeping in this weekend. I don't have the kids. This is a treat. And I know it's difficult. I don't have children, but I know it's difficult for mothers to get that time in. But it shouldn't be a treat. It should be a habit, because that goes back to taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know. It's going to happen. I'm going to get my rest.
And it could actually be something that you teach to your children.
Mm-hmm.
And easier said than done, trust me, because I have a 5-year-old. And if I say to him, as soon as he wakes up, baby, we all are going to sleep in a little bit longer.
Like, it's not going to work.
I've slept already, mommy.
Right.
You know, but you could still create a culture of, we have times within the house that we need to relax. Mm-hmm. And then there's times of activity. So even if you're not resting, you need to find some quiet activity that does not disturb the remainder of the house, you know,
right.
And just try your best to be consistent with that so that the child understands the importance of it. And then you yourself get a break. But you're right, girl, sleeping. I think sometimes about those nights that I'm waking up at 2:00 in the morning,
right.
And can't get back to sleep until 6 and got to be somewhere at 7. Like,
right.
You know, you'll die.
Right.
On that
and it
schedule.
Takes you off your kilter. Yeah. It
yes.
Takes you off your kilter completely.
Yes.
Then the other one was have some fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just let go and have fun, you know, do something you would not normally do, you know, say something that you wouldn't normally say, laugh, throw in a good mood, just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten so caught up in life and getting life down packed and reading all of the books and watching Oprah and all the televangelists and all that stuff. We've forgotten how to just have some fun, some plain old fashioned fun. And I know when I get with my girls and everybody's just letting their girl down, we have the best time. And then we say, oh, we got to do it again, you know, once a month. What kind of life is that where we're like, once a month, I'm going to have fun,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Or we'll do it again in a couple of months. Girl, you know, I'm working. I'm tired. You know, I even wrote that when we say I'm tired, we wear like a badge of honor. Like, girl, I've been so tired.
Mm-hmm.
And girl, you and me both.
Mm-hmm.
I have more respect for the woman. Like, girl, I had so much fun. I did this. I did that. You know, that's more admirable. That's living.
That is living.
That's living.
Mm-hmm.
And so have some fun. It's okay. When things get tense, drop it and go.
Yeah.
You know, because it's going to be there when you get back any dang on way.
Yeah.
So have some fun. And I have to teach myself that, you know, it's easy to do it when everybody is around, you know, and it's a scheduled event.
Right.
you know, and you know, I'm going to, you know, how many times have you said, I'm going to have some fun this weekend?
Yeah. You know? Like, and the thing is, I'm going to let that be something that penetrates my life on the daily. Because mm-hmm. when I think about, and I'm going back to career for me, mm-hmm. you know, I want to get up and know that what I'm going to do for the next 8 hours is something that I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, to spend time doing anything else, especially when career-wise, we spend so much, we spend more time at work than anywhere else during right. the week, it's pointless to do something that makes us miserable. Yeah. You know, and even if that means you're going to have to sacrifice for a while, like I was thinking about it, like, you know, I know that this is my last year at this particular job. If I have to go back to retail, right. what would I enjoy? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where right. would I enjoy? Do I want to sell panties at Victoria's Secret or do I want to slang books at the last Barnes & Noble? Like, what do I want to do?
Right.
But it needs to be something that's enjoyable. I might be at the concession stand behind them at the movie theater. Who knows?
Right.
But I know I need...
Giving me a hookup right. on my nachos.
Right. I'll be seeing all the movies.
Yes.
But I know I need to be able to get up in the morning and have a smile on my face. And it might not be every single day because you're right. not going to wake up every day happy.
Right.
But I don't want to go into a situation knowingly expecting to be miserable because I know that what I'm doing, I'm unhappy. So fun should not just be outside of work.
Right. Exactly. And I mean, if you think about it, kids are the best teachers for that, right?
Yes.
Because they're like, I don't want to do it. Why not? It's not fun.
Yeah.
It's mommy, come and pick me up. Why? I'm not having fun. You're like, we're going over to their house. I don't want to go to their house. Why? Because they're not fun. It's boring over there. So you know what? We can take that same motto, you know, like, I'm not going to do that because it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know, make decisions based off if it's going to be fun for you. We're not supposed to stop living because we're adults.
No, and it impacts your quality of life.
Exactly. And no one's saying let go of all of your responsibilities. And God put us here to live.
Yes.
And he certainly did not put us here to just suffer and only suffer.
Right.
Yes, there's going to be some suffering. That is guaranteed.
Right.
And so knowing that that is guaranteed, you might as well go in there and guarantee yourself some fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Enrich your life to make so that the suffering, you know, you can get past the suffering because you have to live beyond that.
Right.
You know? And just it has to be more than your existing. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember somebody said to me once, I'm like, you know, how you doing? I'm hanging in there. And they're like, oh, I don't want you to just hang. You right. got to do more than just hang.
Exactly.
You know, you don't just want to get by. So commit to making our lives richer. Take some chances. Take some risks. Take a pay cut if it makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, but get into a place where joy is what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Mm-hmm. We so smart.
We are.
So then the next one, it was remain open to love.
Yes.
Remain open to love. And so that's easier said than done, I know, particularly because we've all have had bad experiences with love. We've witnessed other folks go through bad experiences with love. It's all over TV. It's all on the internet. Everyone airs all of the dirty laundry. Yes. And so it is very, very difficult to remain hopeful about love, you know. And at the end of the day, that is our essential need,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And so you have to remain open to it. I don't think you'll attract it if you're not open to it,
mm-hmm.
Even through, and I can honestly say this, I've never been a person to shut myself off from love. I've always wanted it. I've had bad experiences with it, but I've never given up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only thing that has allowed me to remain in the game, like, because I've never given up, no matter what the picture looks like, you know. And I may talk crap, like, oh, they ain't shit, you know, but at the end of the day, I've remained open to it,
right,
you know,
right.
And I think we all should, despite and in spite of everything that you've gone through or what you see people go through and what you hear, you got to remain open to it. I think those are the people that attract it, you know. It's difficult to attract something that you don't believe exists.
This is true.
It's difficult to maintain something that you're thinking is going to die in the first place,
right?
Because what you expect to happen tends to happen.
This is true.
You know? And so, and I know it's hard because we have, as women and men, we've had our hearts broken, and that does not feel good at all, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And it is hard to bounce back from that, you know? But I would just hate, and this is why I've always been able to remain open to love. I would hate for the person who did me the worst, who I believe did me the worst, to also be the person who's got the power to just shut me off from something I truly, truly desire and deserve. Mm-hmm. And so I say that to the women out there, you know, hang in there, you know, remain open to it. Yes, yes, yes. There are some clowns out there. There are some bums out there. There are some no good trifling. All the names that you have evidence to prove it to be true.
Yes.
We all do.
Yes.
And I'm not hating on brothers. I'm just saying that there is that evidence to prove it. And you guys have the evidence as well.
Right.
Because brothers are a whole different ball game when they've had their heart broken and they're close to love.
Yes.
I'm talking to you too. Remain open to it.
Yes.
You know, I don't care if you went through a dozen, you know, raggedy ones. Number 13 might be the one.
Right.
You know, number 15 might be the one.
Right.
And then check your meter. You know, how you keep attracting the same type of person. You know, you got to hold yourself accountable. But even more than that, just remain open to it. Because I know so many women who aren't open to it anymore. It's just like, whatever.
You,
you know,
don't care anymore.
I don't care anymore. So you find a way to pacify. Mm-hmm. You know, you find a substitute for love.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be your jump off. It might be the booty call. It might be somebody you are genuinely in love with, but they're not in love with you, or they're not mm-hmm. offering you what you want. But you keep them around because you believe in your mind that that type of love does not exist,
mm-hmm.
which is why I love, love, love. And this is a shout out, Young Black and Married on Facebook.
Yes.
That Kim put me onto. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Because we see so much of the negative about the relationships. And, you know, I'm a woman who believes in keeping it 100. So, yes, we know that the crap is out there. But there's also some beautiful love stories out there that are happening every day. And beautiful, not like, you know, he came rolling up in a carriage, you know, with glass slippers. I'm not talking that. I'm not talking what we see on TV, you know, LL showing up on a horse to scoop Gabrielle up, right? Because her real life ain't nothing like that life, right?
Right.
But you've got to remain open to it. And I love that we were able to see something you shared with me that just reinforced that it does exist.
Yeah.
You know, there are brothers out there that would love to have a sister out there, and there are sisters out there that would love to have a brother. And then this is key too, because we all know that there is a lot of bad stuff out there. Take that into consideration when you're meeting people, and that will make you more patient.
Yes.
You know, that explains a little bit of that roll in her neck and the roll in her eyes. And that explains his little, you know, chest stuck out and pulling back and shutting down because they've had bad experiences, you know,
right.
And you to be open also means to like take some kind of action. It's not just like, oh yeah, love exists, but it means being open to being patient and understanding and realizing like, and this is very cliche, anything worth having is worth working for, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about being dumb and just accept anything that comes rolling your way. No. But definitely being open to love and understanding that it does exist, and don't block yourself from it.
Yeah.
Do not.
And it goes the same for marriage. You cannot close yourself off to loving the person who you're with. And the thing that I've learned, you know, Chris and I are, and this is year number 9 for us as far as being married. That time went by very, very fast.
You almost at a decade.
Almost at a decade. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do to celebrate the 10-year. But it's like, you know, when you've been with somebody for a long time, those things that used to amuse you about them will sometimes get on your nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot stop loving them
mm-hmm.
because of it. Acknowledge that you're going through what you're going through. You know, I'm 35, and I have to acknowledge in my 35th year of life, I felt more shifts in myself biologically that I can't put a finger on. That I haven't been able to explain. And, you know, I'm not as patient sometimes with some things. I'm overly patient with things that I used to be really quick to turn on. But you cannot change You can change, but you cannot turn yourself off from the person who you committed to. You can't all of a sudden look at them, assess them, and say you're not enough anymore. Why? You know, why? What has happened so drastically that you're no longer into it? And I'm thinking about this because I have a lot of sister friends who were in marriages and had children and then got to a point where they were now bored with, you know, the husband who was a hardworking blue collar man, like all of a sudden. And I honestly think it's hormones, ladies. I think it's hormonal shit we go through. All of a sudden now you think you definitely have to be booed up with that 6'4" stallion who you've never actually encountered. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe encountered once or twice, but it wasn't something that was meant to be. You know, when you're looking at the man who's been there by your side all this time through childbirth, through illness, through death, through financial woes, and all of a sudden he's not enough.
Right.
Why? You know, and it happens on both sides. Men go through midlife crises and, you know, buy sports cars or want to date younger women, whatever the case may be. And the thing is, you have to remain open to the love that you cultivated with the person who you were with. And it will take work because that's the person who looks at you and thinks to themselves, even when you're 65 and your hair is starting to fall out and you're sick,
right,
I will still see somebody who I love.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can imagine, and this is something that I tell you, this is what married people do. We imagine a lot. I've even heard this in other people's conversations. You imagine what would happen if your spouse dies. You imagine what sympathy sex you would get if something happened to your spouse. You would imagine what relationship you would fall into if something happened to your spouse. And you're always in the back of your mind, God forbid, but if it did happen, I might have this. None of that shit is real.
Right.
It's all in your head. You know what I'm saying?
It's all in your head.
It's all in your head. And you can't live off of coulda, woulda, shouldas.
You can't.
You got to be grateful.
Shoulda makes for a lonely person.
It does. You have to be grateful for what you have in this moment. And like Toria mentioned from earlier in this conversation, when we were talking about friendships, stop looking at what the person doesn't have and look at what they do have. Stop looking at what they haven't done and consider what they have done. I do this with myself whenever I feel myself going nuts. And I had a moment earlier this week and I checked myself and I said, you know, honey, it's not you, it's me.
Right.
Right now, I'm trying to see the glass as being half empty when I really need to focus on how full it is. So I'm going to be quiet, give you a big hug and a kiss, and take my ass to sleep. Tomorrow's a new day. Right. You know, but women, we go through some things. I honestly feel for me, we go through hormonal shit that makes us crazy.
We do. Mm-hmm. And you men have to love us for that.
Yes. Acknowledge love us through it.
Yes, please do. Please do. So since we're on the topic of men, this is not just a 2014 promise. This is a lifelong promise. I think all women should make. And I would say I'm embarrassed to like realize I've just now get it. I've said it, you know, and in my mind, like, oh, no, you got to do this. But I've just most recently in my life really get the gist of this and what it means. But require the man that you're with to treat you well. We say it all the time and we're like, oh, no, he could never. And some of you sisters got it already. So this ain't for y'all, you know. But if you said, oh, I already do, then you were too quick to respond. So listen. You really were. Because trust me, I was her too. Require that he treats you well. You know, opening doors. And it still exists, trust me. And I can attest to that. And what I've realized in this relationship that I'm in, that I did not require men to treat me well. And I wasn't necessarily requiring this person to treat me well. He just did. Mm-hmm. And when he did, it made me realize, like, you know what? I never held other men to these standards. Mm-hmm. I appreciate what he does. And I tell him that all the time, that I appreciate this and this, you know. And I feel like a kid in a candy store, like, I ain't never had this kind of candy before. Like, and that's my own fault. And this is real talk. This is not me talking from like, oh, I'm in love and my nose is wide open. This was like a self-check. Like, wow, you didn't set real standards. Mm-hmm. You thought you did, mm-hmm. but you didn't. Mm-hmm. You know, you talked about it, but you really didn't, you know. Because I think about men that I've walked around with and gone out with, and they didn't open doors. I've hung out and been with men who didn't necessarily care about caring for me, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and they can only do what we allow them to do, you know. And a lot of us think we're doing something because we read him. And just because you read him doesn't mean he changed his behavior. You right. gave him a piece of your mind, but you still didn't require him to treat you any better.
Right.
And we've gotten by saying, well, I let him know, but you didn't make him do.
Right.
And there's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
There's a huge difference in letting him know and making him do. Mm-hmm. And it's not saying check a man. And because, again, I reiterate that I constantly say I appreciate and let him know, like, whoa, this is what makes me want to be with you. Mm-hmm. But I had to look back at the woman I've been all these years in this world of dating and say, wow, I did not require enough. Mm-hmm. And so if I had a daughter, I would let her know, require it. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If he does not want to do it, then he's not for you.
Right.
Like, she shouldn't feel like a princess or a queen at 40.
Right.
Now she'll get that from home, obviously. Mm-hmm. But when she steps out into that world of dating, she shouldn't make any time for any man who makes her feel less than that.
Right.
And I think as women, we've spent so much of our time, exhausted too much of our time with men that we didn't hold to any requirements. Right. We've listed the requirements, but we still gave them the job even though they didn't meet the requirement.
Right.
And kept some of them on the job way too long.
Right.
And paid them and gave them compensation.
Right.
Overtime on some of them fools.
Right.
So... See, that's what I'm telling y'all. My nose ain't wide open. I will still be like, I still have fool in me and don't you what in me. But we definitely have to require that, you know. And Kim, you said something to me. This was not that long ago, but a while back, like, you know, sometimes you got to train men how to treat you because they don't know any better. And it's true. It totally makes sense to me, because if you've been with me and then you've been with her and you bounce from woman to woman and none of us have required you to do anything real.
Right.
Or require you to treat us well, how would you know to treat us well? Because you've gotten all the perks.
Right.
You know, you're the kid who gets the A because you've been polite. You know, you show up. You got an A for showing up.
Right.
But you can't do anything. Right. You know, or you haven't done anything. And that's not enough. So don't give away the A's. Make them earn the A's. Require. And again, I'm not talking about pulling out your list of 50 things he has to do to get your attention and time. It is not that. It's understanding what you're worth and then requiring, you know, them to meet up to that, and not being afraid that if you say, I do require this, that he's going to leave. Because if he's going to leave, then you don't want him anyway.
He was going to leave anyway.
Anyway, exactly.
Yeah. And ensuring that somebody is treating you well is ensuring that you have standards mm-hmm. for yourself, you know, and really acknowledging that, you know, this is what I know I'm worthy of. So I can't allow myself to fall into a position where I'm getting any less than what I know I deserve, you know. And that doesn't mean being, I'm sorry to be brass, but a bitch.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bitchiness is not a sign that you deserve anything.
Right.
It's also not being so overly independent that you're a turnoff, because
right.
Y'all have heard me say this multiple times. It's nothing wrong with being independent, but people need people. You're
right.
not so independent that you don't need a human being to interact
exactly.
with. Exactly. You know?
Not to cut you off, but no. It made me think of, I was talking, and so I was like, yeah, you know, in the past, you know, in the relationships, men were like, you're so independent, you know, and independent. I was like, and, you know, I am. And I was interrupted with the comment, yeah, but I can tell nobody has cared for you.
Mm.
Big difference.
Yes.
Big, big, big difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, and so now you're learning how to allow someone to care for you. And mm-hmm. a lot of times we don't have those requirements because it's like, well, I don't need a man to take out the trash because I can.
Right.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, but
however, right, I may not want to. You know, I don't want to. You know, I can buy my own meal. Yes, I can physically go into my bag and pull out my card and pay for my own meal. But how great is it if someone does it for you because they think you're worth it,
yeah.
you know, because they want to get your time.
Yeah.
And you reciprocate that.
Yeah.
You know, we have no problem being givers, you know.
Most of us don't.
Most of us don't, right.
You know? And we need to, I think, get back to that because I heard a lot of brothers' podcasts recently about there's just so many feminized men now, men who want to be taken care of.
What was it? What did he say? It was so funny. We're like a generation away from what? Men throwing their pants.
Oh, yeah. We're a generation away. You guys are going to hear this conversation I had with Moody really quick. We're a generation away from men throwing their panties at women when they see them. It's going to be boxers living in stages. Yes.
And let me tell you, I don't want no man like that unless I'm in Bobcat Cougar mode. And I'm talking about a little young physique, a young dude with a physique, you know, that's playing some college football somewhere. That's the only time I need him to be a little like, yes, ma'am. You know, but your ass is my age. Hell no. Hell no. If I'm going to use a card like that.
Right.
Yes. Tacos, Xbox, 19. Anybody over 20 acting like that don't want you.
Right.
Yes. But that has been it. This has been very fun.
Yes.
I think I covered it all. I did cover it all. We did cover it all.
Well, we hope that you all continue to check in with us. We have more exciting topics coming and more conversations. And like we've been doing over this first week of the new year, by all means, feel free to let us know if there's topics you would like for us to discuss, not only at the break round table, but right here at the small table between Tori and myself. We would love to take on some of the topics that you all suggest. You can find us, of course, at blackisonline.com, on Twitter at blackisonline, on Facebook at blackismagazine. And you can always hit us up on the hotline at 323-455-4219. And I am taking all emails personally. Email me, Keithy.
That's the new one.
Right. KC at blackisonline.com. And we thank you for listening.
Peace.